Der Trending Topics Podcast. Herzlich willkommen bei einer neuen Folge. Wir sprechen mit Experten über Startups, Unternehmertum und Innovation. Der Trending Topics Podcast. Viel Spaß beim Zuhören.
Herzlich willkommen zu einer neuen Ausgabe des Trending Topics Podcast. Mein Name ist Max Lammer. Mein Thema ist Employee Experience und ich habe heute zu Gast Chief People Officer von N26, der Challenger Bank, die jetzt gerade nach Wien kommt. Und zwar Noor van Boven. Sie ist verantwortlich für Menschen, Personal, Employee Experience und wir werden uns heute darüber unterhalten, wie N26 mit dem Thema umgeht, was alles passiert, was sie machen. Ich freue mich sehr, dass Noor sich Zeit genommen hat, heute kurz vor der offiziellen Eröffnung des Wiener Standorts. Noor, super happy to have you here. Thanks for joining the podcast.
Yeah, I'm very excited to be here. Wir müssen das in Englisch machen. Ich spreche ein bisschen Kinderdeutsch. So, the best
problem
in English.
That's perfect. Maybe, Noor, you can tell us a little bit about your background first. So, what's your position? Where do you come from? And then we look into the topics.
Cool. So my background is much more in large corporate organizations, always on the tech side and consumer products. So I worked for a long time for Dell and later for TomTom. And before N26, I was the VP of people at SoundCloud, the music streaming company. My career in HR has always been more on the HR generalist side, so the traditional HR business partnering, where you would take and the employee experience, but also have a strong focus on management and leadership. And you will see, and I'm sure that we will get to it, that a lot of the designs that I implement now that I'm responsible for HR or people teams end-to-end come from those experiences as an HR business partner. But we can touch on that.
Super. First point, I'm a little most interested, not, but it's a good example of how N26 understands HR, or even better said, people. So it's not a chief HR officer, it's a chief people officer.
Yeah.
This is only a terminus technicus, but it says a lot.
Yeah.
Maybe what was the background or the mindset behind that?
Yeah, so I changed it. So actually when N26 and I started talking, they were looking for a CHRO. So they were talking about human resources and it was the HR department. Because it also got always a bit complicated when you're the chief people officer, you have a chief product officer, so you have two CPOs, right?
Okay.
So from the practicality, a lot of founders and CEOs are not so happy with that change. But for me, it was very important to make that change. To some extent, you can call it semantics, but it actually has a story behind it. Like one of the things, the first thing that I did when I joined, and N26 back then had 200 employees, which is way less than the 1,500 that we have today, but it's still a lot of people if you want to meet them all face to face. So I did breakfast sessions every morning with 10 employees, so I could talk to everyone. I gained a lot of kilos with all those breakfasts, but it was very insightful. And one of the key themes that came back from people was what we love to see in the next part of the journey is that the people are really at the core of everything that we do.
Okay.
And everyone in the leadership meeting were also talking about the people. So making that shift from human resources as just a resource, like finances are a resource or tools are a resource, and making the shift to say, no, it's the people department to acknowledge that human-centric, you are the people in my title, but also in the naming of our department and any communication that we do around this, is more than just symbolism. It's really, it underlines a shift that we made as an organization.
Then the backing from C-level and from the other leaders or managers?
From the founders, yeah.
From the founders, of course, and also from department heads, etc. Was it easy to get this backing or this understanding, this support for, okay, now it's really human centricity and we're talking about people and not human resource?
Yeah, that's a really good question, actually. Because of course not. I could now say, yes, it was so easy. Everyone embraced it. You always get some people who love it and go on the change journey with you. some people are a bit skeptical. Do we need now this new terminology? Is finance going to be called the money department, etc.? Right? So I got all the comments. But one of the things that was very important, also for me the reason to join N26, was that Max and Valentin, our founder, said, we started N26 because we had our ambition to really build out an amazing consumer product. And now that we are on this journey of success, we found ourselves to have a second ambition, and the one ambition supports the other, but it are two separate ambitions. And this is super important in my opinion, is that they also want to be a top recognized employer. And that's a different ambition, right?
That's true.
So you need at the core that the founders, tonight we have the opening of the Vienna office, I want them to stand there and be proud when people tell them, we love working at your company, right? It emotionally should trigger them.
Yeah.
And that is not with all leaders the case, right? But they very deliberately made that decision. And that really helped embedding this story, because with them becoming conscious of that second ambition and starting to translate that as well, and in the organization and in the executive team, the shift fitted a larger change journey that we were going through that was very much supported, of course, by the entire executive team.
So the argument on the one hand side is, of course, really caring about people.
Yeah.
On the other hand, understanding that good employee experience makes better customer experience. Would you
yes.
say this is true?
Well, people build great products, right? And people are the core of great organizations. So that's absolutely true. Like, you cannot go through it if there's not an excellent employee experience. I can even make another correlation to it. Just one thing to come back on the people. I truly believe that people who work in an HR department that's called an HR department also put people at the core of what it is, right? But it's one
true.
Of those elements that help your change journey to really put it on the agenda. Employee experience, for me, is at the core of everything that you do. If you are going to an aggressive growth journey that we are onto, so we are conquering new countries, we are growing very, very fast, and that demands a lot of the organization. We are really going to hypergrowth. So you need a very resilient organization that can handle that speed of the journey and change. Employee experience is at the core of the resilience of employees. Because when people are engaged and they are happy in their work and they enjoy it, they have much more resilience to go through it. If you are not focused on that part, like it's a fundamental, basically it's employee health, right?
Mm-hmm.
If your organizational health needs to be there, that is fed completely by the employee experience. And I can tell you that if you wouldn't have focused on it, and we wouldn't have such an engaged organization, our business would have broke. We wouldn't be able to go to the growth that we have done in the last 18 months.
So how do you design employee experience? Most companies I understood or saw are maybe not on the right way or with the right perspective. Lot of companies are thinking about engagement and making experience is having fruits and free drinks and
yeah.
some table soccer
yeah.
and things like that. But we all know that's
not
really,
yeah.
it does not matter.
No.
Right?
Yeah.
So how do you design employee experience? Where is the focus of employee experience and how is your approach of designing employee experience?
So one of the things that we realized very early on was that the challenge that we had with a fast-growing organization, because we were, maybe it's good to set a little bit of context. When you are going to hypergrowth, you have to imagine that we really accelerated our employee growth when we were with about 400 people. And in a year, we went from 400 to 1,500.
Mm.
And that means that on an employee base of 400 people, you're onboarding 150 people per month. So
that's
75 every
wow.
2 weeks.
Yeah.
Just going to the core of the physical employee experience, every 2 weeks, there is this new group of people who are asking, where's the toilet? What's this document about? Who's that contact person? I need a pen, right? And it settles down after 2 weeks.
Hmm.
And everyone is like, okay, stabilize. And then the next wave comes in, and the next wave comes in, and the next wave, and it never stops.
True.
Because it's our reality.
Yeah.
So what we realized was like, how can we provide a high employee experience when people are already physically distracted every day, then you don't even get to something else, right? And we recognize that our product and our customer organizations were having the same challenge with the customer experience under that massive growth as we had as an employee experience. So we sat together and basically copied the product and customer approach to our employee experience. And we did it in two things. So the first thing was we designed an employer vision. So you will recognize from most product companies that that companies have a product vision. That's not a roadmap. It's an outlook of what we aspire our product to be in the future.
Vision, perspective.
Yeah. It's long-term. It's directional. It's a North Star, right? Mm-hmm. And we did that as also for an employer vision. So we have an idea of like how in the future it will look like. And it has all kinds of examples in it that we might never do. But directionally, it gives a very strong perspective on how we want to experience mm-hmm. the way. And then the next step that we did is we mapped out the employee journeys. So very similar to customer journeys, we worked with employee journeys. So basically, you map out every interaction that there is, right, from an employee. And then we basically categorize them in two categories. One are transactional journeys. You have them a lot, yes, especially from the people team. And the other one are experiential journeys. Mm-hmm. And transactional journeys are very often quite straightforward and one-sided. And what we aspire to do is make it seamless, smooth, of course, with a high bias for digital, and really driven by the employee. So they should not distract people. That's basically it. And most of our transactional journeys form also the roadmap of our digital employee experience roadmap. Mm-hmm. The experiential journeys, there we have a different aim. Like here we want to excite and inspire. So these are the things that are the moments that matter, that are high touch. They're not coming from the employee. You can surprise the employee with it, right? Like it's a much more two-sided experience. And by mapping that out, you also keep yourself very honest. Where are we putting our efforts in, right? Is it all on the transactional stuff or is it more on the experiential stuff? Because you need to make sure that the transactional stuff, basically there's very little to gain from transactional activities.
True that, yeah.
But there are really strong detractors when you don't make it a seamless experience, right? And the impact of your experiential journeys will only be amplified if you make the transactional journeys really seamless. So an example is if you are at home with your partner and you want to book. So in my dream, this is my future dream. I will give you an example of what's in the vision. And we already have parts of this. You have an N26 banking app where you do your banking. And you will have an N26 employer app. And all the transactional journeys you do in the app at the moment that you want it. So if you are in a bar with a friend and you're thinking, and you work at N26, and you think, hey, this is a great person. I want to refer that person. You do that immediately in the app. And you're having a good conversation with your brother, and he gives you insights, and you think, that's actually a really good thought for my development plan. You plop it immediately in your development plan. You're sitting on the couch with your partner. You immediately book your holidays. And everything is seamless in the back end. It will go to all the different systems that your organization does, like everything is a natural and organic journey for you whenever you want it, right? Mm-hmm. You will have a Slack bot if you have questions, like you're not stuck somewhere in a black box of an HR email inbox somewhere where no one knows who's behind it and if it's even being checked. And experiential journeys are the different moments where you don't expect it, right? So it's when you get a promotion, or that we recognize spontaneously in your development journey, that we followed your development so strongly in your whole journey that we at one point say, without you even being conscious about it, hey, you've reached the next level, we're going to celebrate it now. And it was just slightly before you thought that the moment was there, right? Then you can really create differentiating experiences.
Sounds
really, really great. What are the components that people like most in N26 employee experience? What makes really so exciting? Or what is where is the moment? You told me about the experiential journeys, and how do you measure it, or how is the understanding of if people really like it then?
Yes, so there are a couple of things. So we do a lot of feedback loops, right? Mm-hmm. So let's start with the basic, an engagement survey. Most companies do an engagement survey or happiness survey or employee satisfaction survey.
Once a year or every 2 years?
Yeah, like most companies do it once a year with a one-off exercise where all the, as a CEO and a chief people officer, you're standing in front of the crowd. This was the feedback. Thank you for the feedback. We'll do something with it. And the whole group looks at you sarcastically and thinks, okay, see you next year. we do it slightly different. So we changed it to a quarterly survey where we ask the engagement questions quarterly. So we really have a trend based on how happy or unhappy are our employees. We also do that for the direct manager's questions. So it provides the managers the feedback on the direct managers on a quarterly basis. So these are questions around, does my manager care about me? Mm-hmm. Do I feel safe with my manager? Do I have regular one-on-ones with my manager? Mm-hmm. Does my manager support my development? And by providing managers that feedback on a quarterly basis, that's a great tool for management development, but it also keeps it an ongoing relation. That's all in the same tool. And then we have differentiated different factors that influence engagement and that are around 14 factors. So it's like personal development, reward, but also your physical office space, leadership, direction, strategy, so ownership, etc.
This moment, it's a single moment, sometimes it's a lasting moment like leadership and things like that.
Yeah.
You have categorized 14 shades of experience.
And those we only ask once a year, but in the moment where it's relevant. Mm-hmm. So every quarterly engagement survey will have engagement questions, direct mm-hmm. managers questions. Those are consistent over the quarter. And then per quarter, there are 3 or 4 items coming back. So for example, in Q2, we ask strategy, direction, and leadership. Because in Q1, we should have communicated mm-hmm. the strategy. So it's a natural moment to check in Q2 where people stand. In Q3, we have our annual salary cycles and development cycles. So it's good in early Q4. We check in how people feel about it.
And is everybody joining these surveys, or how is the quote or the rate
participation rate? Yeah, so the participation rate is always between 75% and 80%.
Okay, well, that's good.
So that's a good engagement. What we saw is that especially, so the managers really engage with getting their direct feedback on a quarterly basis. So they also encourage their team, of course, to give follow-up feedback to see how it moved.
Is this feedback or the result of the feedback loops of the service, has it any impact on rewards of the managers? Is there a link or is there a connection between satisfaction and salary?
No, it's not a link to reward, because especially with managers' feedback, there's a lot of contextual information, right? So for example, when you're growing at our pace, mm-hmm. sometimes we hire managers to do a turnaround job,
okay.
right? Yeah. So then that's not a very popular thing to say, but then if your employees are slightly unhappy with the change journey that you're in, that can be in design with mm-hmm. the journey that you're on. So then we guide managers through it. So we normally say to managers, okay, if we start a change journey now, that can have an impact on 2 or 3 surveys, but then it needs to turn around. So we measure it very, very tightly.
Okay.
And if it doesn't turn around after that time, then we have a performance challenge with the manager. There are also other data points, of course.
So you have set up people analytics.
Yeah.
In these terms.
Yeah.
And so you as a startup or now scale up.
Yeah.
Have another look at data.
Yeah.
How would you say is the, when you compare it to your former companies?
Yeah.
Were they also in people analytics and data measuring around people? How is the development also for you in these terms?
I think we have a little bit of an of advantage that there was no legacy. Mm-hmm. So in the organizations that I worked, I think on the status quo, they would be more advanced because the tooling is better and allows for it, right?
True.
And we are really stretching every infrastructure. But if you're looking at the journey that we are on and how we are using our data, we are fast-tracking to a really advanced position. And of course, that's always easier, right? Like we have no legacy. So everything that we can design for the future and set up immediately in how it works for us.
So
we're a very data-driven company. So
Of course, totally understood. And,
so it's in the culture much more with managers and leaders. So it's not only driven by our people team, right? I don't think the people by nature actually are very analytical, right? Like it's a skill set that we as a profession need to build up. But when you work in an organization that's so data-driven, right? So managers demand it, leaders demand it, every change is measured with data. It's easier to excel at it because the whole ecosystem carries it and things along with you. So it's not only HR people in a bubble designing what are the best people analytics. No, a lot of our people analytics agenda is really driven by the business needs that is identified by the people who are closest to the business and
yes.
the business together.
How is the setup of your people team then? Because
yeah.
you need also analysts and data scientists or I don't know,
yeah.
maybe you can describe how the team setup is at N26 in terms of employee experience, people analytics. So these new trends in people management.
Yes. So we did set up a people analytics role in our team. And we've just recently moved that to the data team.
Okay.
And in the past, I was always a bit skeptical to have people analytics in the data team because in general, people analytics is never the priority, right? So then very slowly, all of your great initiatives will die out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because like in every company, there's always way more work than there are people. And then the people analytics is at the bottom of the priority list. That's very different in our organization because our business success is... Our business opportunity is so obvious that the only risk that we have is that we can't scale our organization in a healthy way to cash in on the business opportunity. So that provides you a very different positioning.
Yes.
So also in the data team. And what we saw is that in the beginning, it was great to have a business analyst who designs your dashboard and things around it. Now, our thinking around people analytics is evolving so strongly that we need to have much more of an end-to-end team. So by having it embedded in the data team, we have end-to-end support of data analysts. Our data analysts move to that team. So we still have someone with a very strong people background. I'm very close to our chief data officer. So we really come together in designing those roadmaps to make sure that the people insights is really combined with the data team. So that's one element. So that we move to the area where they have the best expertise. On the people team, we have basically 5 teams. So one is employee experience to start with that. And this team basically has the aim to be completely overly obsessed by the employee. That is their stakeholder. And this is quite
they
different.
They are focused on this.
Everything
is employee.
Yeah, so the moment that a candidate accepts, it goes to employee experience. So everyone who accepts, that's when your employee journey starts. And then you stay in the community forever. So the employee experience team is also responsible for our alumni.
Alumni, okay.
Right? So the whole
right.
everyone who's in the N26
ecosystem.
From the
ecosystem, first impression
yeah.
to the alumni
yeah.
status. Cool.
And they really need to bring in that thinking as well. And we'll give you 2 points why that's important. Then, of course, in an organization our size, we have a recruiting team, recruiting employee brand. Then we have organizational development. And organizational development, the key stakeholder is management and leadership. So their focus, and so this is very different what most companies have. Most companies have HR business partners who take on the shared responsibility on employee experience and managers and leaders. What happens, this is my background, so I can be critical on that role. What happens in practice is you either have HR business partners who lean more to the employee and less to the management and leadership development, or most HR business partners who lean more to management and leadership and less the employees. In a growth organization like ours, your biggest risk is that all of the focus is recruiting, because that's what the business is obsessed about, right? And that your candidate experience overshadows your employee experience. So you need to make sure that you have a bit of, not a siloed team, but siloed responsibilities and accountability. The recruiting team, yes, candidate experience and hiring manager experience is your only focus. Employee experience, the employee. ODE, you need to make sure that we set up the structures, the managers, and the leaders to scale the organization. So always from organizational perspective. Then we have a rewards team, because if you scale this size, of course, we need a financial technicality ops setup. That's more traditional compensation benefits, internal mobility, and options. And then the last piece is internal communications. Also more a classical one. But like, I think the setup of between employee experience and ODE is slightly different.
Totally interesting, yes. Cool. And how does the employee experience team designs the experience for their stakeholders? So how do you differentiate between the different moments that matter and also things like, is there something to design leadership approach and things like that?
Yeah.
How are you tackling all these different situations and moments that are so important in an employee life cycle or employee journey?
So basically in employee experience, we differentiate three categories, right? So one is much more of the cultural employee experience. Then you have the digital employee experience and the physical employee experience. And those are different teams in that same journey.
Okay.
But they do design thinking exercises together. So you have the high level journeys. So take, for example, you'll use the example onboarding. Then they will have done like a full day workshop where they map out basically the whole onboarding experience. Like what are the subcategories? And then below it, what are all the interactions that you can imagine? So the interactions today and the future interactions that you could imagine. So these are loads of workshops, right? And we, in general, we really like not reinventing the wheel. So we always include an agile coach, someone from tech, someone from the design team to help us doing the design thinking workshop. And then map it all out. And then what I said before, like we will categorize what are transactional journeys and what are experiential journeys.
I totally understood about how you set up your team, that you're focusing and looking into a lot of feedback and reviews and measuring and better understanding what people really want, how you design employee experience. Maybe for coming to an end or coming back to how is your best advice to change from this typical traditional HR understanding or people understanding to this employee experience approach. What is necessary? What are the steps to take?
Just do it and don't make it too complex. Like, I think that the biggest challenge that we have as HR people is that when we think about change, and it's because it's we guide the company through it and we are saying every day to managers and leaders, like, ooh, change is very important. Take it step by step. Really think it through. That's great business. But please make sure that it always stays dark under the lighthouse. Just do it. Just start. Don't over-engineer how you're going to do the process, right? Do you want to experiment with design thinking? Just take one process. Take onboarding and start working with it and see if it works for you, right? But like, you can test and prototype a lot of things in HR, not only in the deliverables, but also in the way how you get to those deliverables. Right? That's one thing. And the second thing is don't copy what other people, companies do. Like, I'm so allergic for the sentence, and it has nothing to do with any Googlers that might listen, but it's like, but Google did it. That's great. Google has 100,000 employees. We have 1,500 employees. We are not Google, right? So I can be inspired with what Google does, right? And I love that we do the same thing. Like, I love companies being open source and just share all the information that they have. But make it your own, right? Like, you're not another company. Because it worked at Spotify doesn't mean that it will work with your company with 150 people or even the same size. You're a different company. So, and the last thing is, everyone, including me, that you listen to, it always sounds like they've got it completely nailed, right? Mm-hmm. That's so not true. Everyone is in the same shape where you are at. Right? If you would ask me the question, what's your focus next year? I can tell you, we have overly focused on transactional journeys, and we need to do way better on the experiential journeys. And that is what we are going to focus on in the next few years. So also, when you go to conferences, be inspired, take things and use it, but don't use the presentations that you see there or whatever that you read as a measurement of the quality that's out there and get in a kind of a self-depression. It's completely unnecessary. If you talk to the people in those companies, it's never as glorious as it's presented, right?
So your advice is understand it, make it, but for your own and on your own. And it's not about, it's not about copying. But most important is that you really, really care.
Yeah.
And want to care about the people you have.
Yeah. Oh, and one last thing, that's one thing that my team member at SoundCloud implemented, which was great for the team. We started Failibrations.
Failibrations.
And every Friday, we always had a stand-up, like, how was your week and what are you going to do for the weekend? And then people could share their, I hope that no one's offended by my language, but basically their fuck-up of the week.
Yeah.
And what they learned from it. And that was a very safe way. And it really encouraged people in the team to start testing things, because when it didn't work, that was also okay. And we can all talk about it, right?
Yeah, and nobody blamed each other.
Of course.
The other way around, because everybody was happy. Okay, you tried it. What did you learn? And then what can I learn from your failure and so on?
So,
totally true.
I don't want my team to only play in the safe space. It will be boring like hell and we will be a mediocre company. Try it out. If, like, for every mistake I make, I get a euro, I would be a millionaire. I should put that in my contract.
Noor, I thank you very, very much for your insights, for all the experience you shared with us.
Thank you so much, Max. I really appreciate the invite.
Ich hoffe, ihr schaltet beim nächsten Mal wieder ein, wenn wir uns über Employee Experience unterhalten. Vielen herzlichen Dank fürs Zuhören beim Podcast von Training Topics. Bis bald.